your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. We've got a great show. Joining me today, my good friends, Chad Bronstein and Aristotle Loomis, co-founders at Philo, and Mike Lee, light heavyweight champion and co-founder and CEO of Soul CBD. Guys, great to hang.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to do an intro for Mike, like light heavyweight of the world.
Ding, 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 ding.
You're competing with Michael Buffer. I got to tell you, that guy's had the best job in the world. He gets front row seats, the greatest fights ever. All he does is goes up there, makes millions of dollars, talks for like 2 minutes max, and then watches the show.
That's awesome.
He's figured it out.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you on the show. Aristotle and obviously myself, when we're talking to Jeff, who's obviously a great host of Alchemy, we're just looking at, you know, in the cannabis industry of people that have inspired us. And, you know, over the past year of running Philo, I've gotten to hear a lot of great stories. Yours is obviously one of them. For me, it, you know, obviously touching, inspiring, et cetera, about how you jumped into cannabis. But I figured to start off the show, you know, we introduced you as champion boxer, but I think it's from an entrepreneurial standpoint, your journey and how you got to cannabis. I think that's going to be, you know, what everyone wants to hear. So love for you to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll give you guys the quick 30,000 foot view of how I kind of got in a little bit of my career, and then we kind of dive into it. But, you know, as you guys mentioned, I'm a professional boxer. I'm currently 21-1. I just fought for a world title at the MGM Grand in front of thousands of people and, you know, probably a million or two on TV. And although I got handed my first loss, it was, listen, the culmination of something I've dreamt about since I was 8 years old and first put gloves on, and so much literal blood, sweat, and tears that went into a long career to even get to this point. So I learned from it, you know, and I can grow from it, most importantly. But I first started fighting, as I mentioned, 8 years old back in Chicago, worked my way up through the amateurs, and I got signed right out of college by Top Rank, which is arguably one of the best promotional companies in the world. I mean, they signed Manny Pacquiao and De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather. And so to get a phone call from them out of the amateurs, I really knew, you know, I was really grateful. But ultimately, it was like getting a call from the New York Yankees for me. It was a dream come true. So at 21, I turned pro, and my career really took off. I got to undefeated at 12-0 at one point, really in the height of my career. I was gaining some national commercial audience, and I was fighting in Madison Square Garden, Cowboy Stadium. I was really on top of the world. I felt invincible. And then right before my 13th fight, a few years back, I started to get really sick, and we couldn't figure out what it was. We had to cancel a fight. I was actually going to fight on an HBO undercard. It was going to be my biggest fight to date. And this was 2013. I spent the next 2.5 years in and out of hospitals, and I was battling what we later found out was an autoimmune disease. So needless to say, that was some of the darkest, most painful times of my life, physically and mentally. You know, I was literally laying in hospital beds for weeks on end because my immune system was shutting down, and all these complications started happening out of nowhere. And you know, at one point I was on 8 different medications. And so for me, it was a scary, dark time, but ultimately I truly believe, and I've had the opportunity to speak all over the country and world at this point to motivate other athletes and people. I truly believe that this pain was a gift. I believe that all pain is a gift if you choose to look at it that way. And it took me a long time to get out of that depression and severe anxiety and all the issues that I dealt with when I was on the medication in those hospital beds, to realize that this pain was a gift. And why it was a gift for me is, you know, it really transformed the type of human I am. It made me a much more empathetic, grateful human for the days I was somewhat pain-free. And if anything, I started diving into books about health and wellness. And I really, for the first time in my life, took my health into my own hands. And I went from 8 medications all the way down to 0. And I went from doctors telling me that I wouldn't fight again to 9 fights later, fighting for a world title, winning multiple junior world title belts along the way. So CBD was a huge part of that for me. I first heard about it, as you know, a few years back, and in 2017 when WADA lifted the ban on it, I knew that, you know, not only would I be taking it, but I needed to get in and help more people. And that was really the birth of Soul CBD. And so for me, going from those hospital beds to a world title, now I always say it's not like all of a sudden I took CBD and all my problems went away. You know, I never say that, but it was a big piece of the puzzle for me, you know, along with working on my mindset, doing like visualization techniques, breath work, meditation, changing my diet, my lifestyle. And CBD was a huge part of that. So my sister and I co-founded the company under 2 years ago, and it took off, and we've helped thousands and thousands of people. And it's been a blessing because, as I mentioned before, how that pain is a gift. This pain has really taught me that I want the rest of my life to be about helping other human beings get out of pain. And when my career is done, and even during my career, that's my mission. That's my higher purpose in life now, because I still deal with pain on a daily basis, you know, with this autoimmune disease. But I know that now I have a vehicle in CBD and in cannabis, and also, you know, speaking and other things I want to do, that the next 70, who knows, maybe 80 years of my life are going to be about helping other human beings. So here I am now, and that's my mission. And it's been a wild ride of a lot of ups and downs, but I'm grateful for it.
That's awesome. You were on all those prescription drugs. Like, what was it that made you try CBD?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know if it was the CNN Sanjay Gupta piece or what initially alerted me, but I started reading about CBD. And as I mentioned, I was just diving into all natural remedies. So I was scouring the internet and reading books about health and wellness. And that's how I came across CBD. So I started trying, and I actually was very fortunate, and I believe this was a blessing. One of my good friends was involved with one of the biggest hemp manufacturers, suppliers in the country at that time. And so he put together, you know, a special formulation for me that was really strong and obviously low in THC, or actually no THC, since I was getting drug tested. And that's really the birthplace of how I really started learning about it, not only just scouring the internet, but from people actually in the industry. And this guy is still a dear friend to this day.
Mike, so for Soul, it's cool for Soul CBD, you know, I think what we also hear about is like culture and, you know, the culture for, you know, obviously, you know, me and Aristotle, but Philo, you know, we're like a family. It's really cool that you and your sister are doing Soul CBD together. How did you guys actually, you know, like Jeff was talking about how you get into CBD, but how did you guys actually start creating Soul CBD? Like, when was that? When did that actually happen?
Yeah. So, you know, working with family is always, it can be a blessing and a curse. It's all about how you manage it, right? And I think that Angie and I are a great team because she herself has built a phenomenal community. She has a top Forbes top 100 podcast in health and wellness. She teaches mostly entrepreneurial women online sales and marketing. She also hosts these huge events. She has one later this year where she'll have 3,000 women come to see her speak. She just turned 30, so she's a rising star, and I'm so, so proud of her. She's helped so many women, and so really for us, building the brand was community first, brand second. And so that's been huge in a space that's incredibly saturated and competitive, that we brought along our community, hers and mine, and our collective community to this brand, because it was already a group of people that knew and loved and trusted us. And so organically, it just grew and really grew overnight. And from that, we really got to blossom into that. I mean, I hired my mom. My mom is head of customer service. Wow. So, you know, sometimes when I call her, she answers and she's like, is this Mike or my boss? Is this Mike or my boss calling? So we're a family affair. We've really grown. We've hired a lot more employees and grown the team. But no matter what, like you guys do at Philo, because I've been in there multiple times, you want that feeling of family, right? You don't want people to come in and feel like it's just a job day in, day out. And I think cultivating that type of culture is just so paramount.
On that front, Aristotle chiming in here, what do you think the biggest challenge? Obviously, it's a very competitive market. It increasingly gets more saturated. What do you think the biggest challenges you've seen as a startup cannabis entrepreneur has been as you've grown Soul CBD in the U.S.?
Man, how long is this interview? No, I mean, look, you guys are on the front lines. You've seen it. Obviously, the regulations. And it, I truly believe, as everyone I'm sure does here, it's not an if, but a when, in terms of when cannabis will be legal and really recognized, not as a street drug, but something that's helped so many people mentally and physically and in a major way in a medical sense. But so obviously you have those hiccups, and the long things that go with that are merchant processing and, you know, the banking, and I can get all the details of cannabis. But I think for any entrepreneur, it's all about managing the team. You know, it's about hiring people who are emotionally intelligent. That's really what I found to be the biggest thing is, you know, it's getting those people that are in on the team and want to grow the team and mission with you, and how emotionally intelligent they are. You know, I'd much rather take someone who is willing to roll up their sleeves and grind and work and learn than someone who doesn't have the emotional intelligence or the discipline to work really, really hard, especially with a startup where everyone wears a million hats, even though they have maybe more technical knowledge. So for me as a CEO, it's been trying to ascertain who has that emotional intelligence, who's willing to roll up their sleeves, and who's willing to, you know, get down and dirty with the family and grow this company and help people. And that's definitely one thing I've learned as I've grown this company.
I love that, Mike. I had a call with another Sean who I told you about this morning. We literally just talked about EQ. I think the EQ is the most important part of running a company or being a part of a company. You know, for an athlete, you were talking about your breathing methods and just how you manifest things. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people that jump in as an entrepreneur, you jumped in from a boxer to an entrepreneur, but I'm guessing, and you can correct them wrong, but a lot of your competitive spirits and your training methodologies have now brought you into being a successful CEO. So I think a lot of times athletes don't realize that when they professional ones that make it that level, jumping in to be a CEO should be easy for them for all the other shit they went through to get themselves to the top level that you got yourself to.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. I think, you know, it's about transitioning that skill set to something new, which is always scary for anybody. I mean, I have a ton of buddies that either play in the NFL or, you know, any other professional athletes that they always wonder what's next. And no matter how much money they made or what they did, that's the scariest thing in the world, because for us, our entire identity has been to be an athlete. So it's kind of learning how to transition that. But yeah, I mean, especially, man, I can't tell you, there's so many analogies between boxing and entrepreneurship. I've literally been knocked down in the ring and gotten back up so many times, to the point where you get hit so hard, you can't even feel your legs, and there's 20,000 people screaming, and you're laying there on the mat, and it's up to you. It is literally up to you in that moment when everything gets quiet, and you got thousands of people waiting to see what you're going to do. That little step up is the toughest step you'll ever take in your life, to get back up, to know that I'm still going to take a beating. I'm not 100%, but I'm going to get back up because I'm not going to quit. And that is the mentality that I've had as a fighter, almost to my detriment. You know, it's caused me a lot of hospital visits and pain, but that's the mindset that I take into entrepreneurship now, is that, dude, you're going to get knocked down so many times. And it's all about how you perceive that. Because really, at the end of the day, that's the only control you have, right? I mean, my strength coaches used to tell me that all the time, control the controllable. And what they mean when they would say that in between fights or in training, when things would get tough, they'd say control the controllable. It means all you can control is your mindset, is your reaction to an outcome. I can't control what somebody's going to say, what punches they're going to throw, if the deal's going to come through. All I can control is how I perceive that situation and what I do. So I've taken that mentality now into entrepreneurship, and it's, you know, it's paid off so far.
You know, being a boxer and getting knocked down sets you up really perfectly for, you know, startup life. And I think, you know, one of the most important things too is, from being an entrepreneur, is, you know, you got to get knocked down and you got to fail, because if you don't fail, you're not going to get better. And, you know, I think it's pretty amazing kind of looking at those two worlds, but they're very much aligned.
Yeah, I think it's embracing the suck, right? It's embracing that moment. And in the moment, it's so tough to do that. But some of the most beautiful blessings of my life have come out of some type of pain, some type of failure. And I mean, hey, listen, Soul CBD is doing really well. We've been very successful, but there's no guarantees in life. And if for whatever reason the company doesn't do well. And, you know, like anything else in life, having the mental understanding that, okay, no matter what happens, I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to learn from the situation. It makes you less scared. It makes you a little more willing to take the risks and do the things that are necessary to grow a business and especially a startup.
I will say this about Soul CBD. Aristotle, if anyone knows him, has the most energy. And I don't know if he can ever actually sleep a good hour. And so I'm only going to use this because it's a funny, I can rip on Aristotle, but it's a true statement, is your product does actually help Aristotle sleep. So if anyone knows Aristotle, they know that it's going to be a tough fight. And so I will say, since he uses your product, he's much calmer. When he first started the startup, he drove me nuts. Now we're into the little bit 50% calmness. So I think Soul's products are great.
Yeah, actually, I think, Jeff, I told you, I was telling you, if this the philo doesn't work out, Mike, I'll take a sales job. But I was telling Jeff on the benefits of Soul. And as you know, echoing off Chad's Aristotle is annoying, I'm sure Mike could say the same, because for about a year, I was pinging him to get Soul as a client. But I just fell in love with the product. And I think that, you know, Mike, you know, and everybody on this cast right now, we all have similar backgrounds in some way, in terms of our journey and maybe some of the struggles that we endured during that journey. But yeah, I, you know, my journey, you know, cannabis actually was introduced to me the same way maybe Mike was introduced to yourself, from a pain point. I had a real difficult time sleeping. I had a real difficult time dealing with my anxiety. I had a real difficult time kind of encompassing those two pain points and how that translated into my day to day. And so it was crazy. I know I could be a kind of a pessimist when it comes to remedies. You know, my mother was a doctor. I come from a background of medicine. And so I was never a big fan of medication, but it was crazy because I took it, and it's one of those things, and it's hard for me to explain. Everybody's experience is different, but I take it, and anxiety is not one of those things. Okay, you can kind of simmer down the pain when it comes to joint pain or aches or backs or a headache, but anxiety is nuanced, right? You don't really, it's not something you could just target, but it's incredible. And I still say this till today, that every time I take Soul CBD before I go to bed, it actually does this weird thing and it just calms my mind. I don't know how it does it, but it's very unique. And I know that there's so much noise out there with CBD products. But I was always a big proponent of not only your story, but the actual product and the quality of the product. And so I hope it's helping me with the energy. But more importantly, it's been a great benefit to me and my life and how it impacts my entrepreneurial journey too.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. That means a lot. Honestly, Ange and I get testimonials all the time, and it makes our day. It's why we do what we do. I mean, I know a lot of people say that, but for me, going through so much pain in my life, that it, like I said, it's made me so empathetic. So that those testimonials are so much more exciting for me as a business owner than anything else. And so I appreciate that.
I think that what I like about your story as well is, you know, I introduced you to Daniel Carcillo, and I feel like you guys have a similar story, but I think there's a lot of people you guys target differently than some other products that, you know, because you guys use yourselves as your use cases, which I think is a unique scenario. And, you know, you're a boxer, he's a hockey player, but the level of pain, concussions, et cetera, that you went through, the fact that CBD, psychedelics, et cetera, help, I think that's really important to share with, you know, veterans, with all these different people that are suffering from PTSD or et cetera, et cetera. I think that a lot of people don't speak that way to these products. I think that's really cool how you're positioning it.
Yeah. And listen, I have a lot of, my father was in the 101st Airborne. My best friend and strength coach was a Special Forces Marine. That is near and dear to my heart, especially the vets. And we've done some charity, a lot of charity work now with a few different veteran foundations, but that's something people don't talk about. You know, there's preliminary studies out right now about how, you know, psychedelics, mushrooms, or MDMA, there's these different clinical trials that show it helping people on such a huge level. And I know that they're getting fought against by the pharmaceutical companies because for so many reasons, but at the end of the day, I think these are the men and women who risk their lives on a daily basis. Let's open up all options that are such high, low risk, high reward that can help them out. And so I love that the narrative of this is it's becoming less taboo and people are talking about cannabis, psychedelics, you know, all these other things that are all natural solutions to this that honestly human beings have been using for thousands of years. You know, I mean, this is nothing new. So, yeah, I'm excited that I'm a very, very small part, but still a part of that conversation.
Awesome. So, Mike, kind of any insight into when you're looking into trends and maybe anything that you're looking at from a CBD perspective going into 2020 once we get out of this mess?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think anybody in the cannabis space, you know, I know in the CBD world, you're seeing a lot of different products pop up everywhere. They're putting CBD in everything. And so I think for people, it's really identifying, you know, whether it's through looking at the COAs on the website or understanding the story of the company. But I see a trend towards people getting smarter, people being more educated. And that means not going to Amazon and finding a 5,000 milligram bottle that's on sale for $9.99. You know, so what I see is a more educated consumer that understands more about bioavailability and how and when to take it. So that's kind of what I see, and what we've done as a company is try to pivot to more education and spreading the word as much as we can, as much as we're allowed to say, unfortunately.
How's your regimen changed? I agree with you, with coronavirus happening and everyone being at home, I do think a lot more people, we're seeing specifically the trend that CBD is being purchased more. So maybe people are at this time have the time on their hands to be educated, especially in this environment. So I think that's something that we've seen as a trend. But how is your, like, from Soul CBD to your regimen, like, what, you know, what's the positive, what's the negative?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of growth, which I'm so grateful for. You know, anybody in this space knows that if you're a DTC brand and in health and wellness, you're in a good spot. Obviously, we've seen a little bit of hiccups with on the supply chain side. You know, it's a domino effect of this. So everything for us, there has been certain areas, but we haven't really sold out of products. We're moving along really nice, and demand is increased. So I'm very grateful for that, and we keep helping people, especially now. People are nervous; they can't sleep. They need to work on anxiety and pain and all the things that come along with it. But for us, it's business as usual in terms of we're busier than ever. The entire team, like everybody else, is on Zoom calls and on Slack and all that. So if anything, it's been an opportunity for us to even get more organized and have more communication among the team members. And for that, I'm grateful.
It's awesome.
Mike, basically, we do like just a couple questions, lightning round.
Okay.
First thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So what's for dinner tonight?
Ground beef and sweet potatoes.
Favorite place on the planet?
Croatia.
If there was a zombie apocalypse, would you survive? I think we know the answer to this.
I don't think you know the answer, because I could punch a million people in the face, but that doesn't work against the zombies. So I'd survive a long time, but I don't know if I'd make it to the end.
Okay, wild card question. Who is your dream fight?
My dream fight? The longest time, we almost got a fight together with Andre Ward. I know he's obviously retired, but that or Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Just so the listeners know, Chad has been challenging me to a push-up contest for a long time now. So hopefully we can settle it at some point and blast it out to your listeners.
Oh, we're totally doing that. But actually, you know what? Aristotle tagged us in the push-up contest about 2 weeks ago, and I think Chad's the only one who didn't do it.
I'll talk.
Well, Mike, listen, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and mazel tov to, you know, all the success that you guys are currently experiencing, and what an amazing transition from athlete to entrepreneur.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.